Today on Annenberg Radio News.
They got their pantsuit off of them, and they're complying with a federal mandate.
I speak with local criminal justice advocate Susan Burton about California's efforts to reduce its prison population. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 28th, 2013. I'm Omar Shamoot. Two powerful endorsements were announced today in the race for Los Angeles mayor. City Councilman Eric Garcetti and City Controller Wendy Gruhl both got support from important figures in the South Los Angeles community. Sarah Politis reports.
South Los Angeles Councilwoman Jan Perry stood in front of a crowd at the 28th Street YMCA this morning to endorse her colleague Eric Garcetti for mayor. Of course, Perry might wish it was the other way around, since Perry spent most of her unsuccessful mayoral campaign competing against Garcetti. Perry brings a lot of weight to Garcetti's campaign, with significant influence on South LA voters. Perry has represented the 9th District for the last 13 years. She says she believes her support can make all the difference.
I think if you look around, look at the people here, they're all here because I asked them to come. That's an army. This is just a small section of the people I can mobilize.
Garcetti said Perry provided an independent voice during the primary election, and he praised their collaboration. But don't count out mayoral hopeful Wendy Gruhl, Los Angeles City Controller. She was endorsed today by former Lakers star Magic Johnson. Johnson, part owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, says he's a fan of Gruhl's business experience.
She understands how to engage business to the companies to stay here in LA, but also to recruit new businesses and companies to come here because we need jobs for our people, not just here in South LA, but all over the city.
Jan Perry carried the majority of the African American vote in the March mayoral primary. She hopes those numbers will follow her endorsement for Garcetti. But many prominent African American leaders were out today to support Gruhl.
My breath was taken away when I saw all of you here today because I know what it means to be the mayor for all of Los Angeles. The people that are standing here are committed to making sure the next mayor of Los Angeles never forgets South LA.
Both candidates were in South LA today to show they are dedicated to building up the community. The election takes place on May 21st. Sarah Politis, Annenberg Radio News.
One of the biggest priorities for the next Los Angeles mayor will be closing the city's budget deficit. City Council President Herb Wesson announced today that a 12-member panel, known as the Los Angeles 2020 Commission, will come up with ways to balance this budget. Claire Pyrees reports.
The new Los Angeles 2020 Commission will strive to improve the city's economy and to close the city's budget deficit. The city is facing an estimated $165 million budget deficit because of the defeat of Proposition A. On the March 5th ballot, it would have increased the city sales tax by a half cent. City Council President Herb Wesson summed up the commission's course of action and insisted it's not political.
What they're going to do is assess the city's financial situation, give us a report, kind of like a doctor's report, a baseline, and then they're going to come back with a series of suggestions. What we don't want to have happen is to have you guys, and I respect the media, make this political when it is not political at all.
Former Commerce Secretary Mickey Cantor will lead the commission. The 12 members are purely volunteers, and the commission will be privately funded. The commission will hold both public and private meetings to come up with the solutions for the budget deficit. City Council President Wesson says he will make sure to thoroughly review the recommendations of the commission.
Leadership is about doing what you have to do. I will not let this city go over the fiscal cliff. I will lead the council. I won't manage it. I will do my damnedest to make sure we stay afloat.
Former Labor Secretary and Commission member Hilda Solis embraces the diversity of the commission members.
So you've got people from all sectors, both public and private, elected officials, but you also have people who have worked here in the city, and many have given many years of service.
Another commission member is former California Governor Gray Davis. He already has some ideas for the city's economy.
We have every right to be as prominent in technology industries as San Jose is. We have every right to be the third or fourth fourth largest convention center in the country. We're probably instead about 15th.
Commission head Mickey Cantor says in July, the group will release a summary of the public and private meetings to the new mayor and council members. Claire Pyres, Annenberg Radio News.
Prosecutors have released documents detailing the events that took the lives of 20 children and 6 adults after the deadly shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Prosecutors say suspect Adam Lanza was found with 3 guns inside Sandy Hook Elementary School and another loaded gun in his car. Police found Lanza's mother shot dead inside his home on the day of the massacre, along with books on guns, autism, and Asperger's disease. Gun control groups are holding rallies here in Los Angeles and around the country in what they're calling a day to demand action. During a White House event, President Barack Obama said the country has seen enough gun violence, and he urged Congress and the American people to toughen gun laws. Fiona Wang takes a look at how gun violence affects young people in South Los Angeles, where tragedy is all too common.
According to new findings, 1 in 5 Americans knows a gun violence victim. The Kaiser Health tracking poll shows blacks and young people are most likely to report knowing victims of gun violence. That statistic holds true in South Los Angeles, where many people have witnessed the tragedy. George Weaver, the director of Brotherhood Crusade, said his organization was affected just last year. Victor McClinton, one of Weaver's longtime staff members, was shot in his front yard while his family celebrated Christmas. Weaver said,
"The impact of now this family, his children who now have to grow up and every day experience and understand and experience and feel the pain of losing their father."
Young people like McClinton's children are among the most affected by gun violence.
Historically, it's been the young people who have lost their lives to gun violence.
That was Najee Ali, California civil rights activist. He said part of the reason is they don't quite understand.
Because they're young, immature, and don't realize the danger of guns, that once you shoot someone, it's permanent. It's not a Hollywood movie.
But Weaver pointed out it is the environment people grow up that influences their gun use decision.
When you create a situation of hopelessness, ultimately that situation comes to a head. And unfortunately, you know, the history of the area of South Los Angeles has created some situations of hopelessness, you know, and the result, the ultimate result of those situations being created is what we're seeing now, manifest now. You know, that doesn't excuse it, that doesn't justify it, but it is a reality of what has occurred.
But all is not lost. He said better government spending on creating jobs and building local schools would help create a more enriching environment. Fiona Wen, Annenberg Radio News.
In weather, tonight's temperatures should dip into the high 50s, with light winds and clouds rolling in tomorrow. Expect daytime highs in the low to mid 70s up until Easter Sunday, when it'll cool down to a high of 67 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we learn about a new program serving the homeless in Venice Beach. Santa Monica's 3rd Street Promenade is home to a community of street performers. Some are even talented enough to make a living out of it. As Nicolette Collegian reports, there's a social etiquette amongst these clowns and musicians unseen by visitors.
Tell me all.
That's Chelsea Williams. She makes a living singing and playing guitar on the 3rd Street Promenade. She has been playing here for about 7 years and has sold thousands and thousands of records.
If it gets too full in the tip jar, I definitely try to take at least some of the 20s out, just so it looks like I need money, maybe. I know that sounds terrible. It sounds awful.
Williams must follow the rules of the promenade. Some of them are official. She must have a permit from the city. She has to find a spot 40 feet away from another performer. She can only be at that spot for a 2-hour period at the top of the hour, and the volume level must be within certain decibels depending on the time and day of the week. If she's too loud, she gets a ticket.
I've been harassed by like homeless people, and I've been harassed by like drunkards, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. But the only problem is when somebody comes and tries to take my livelihood away. And that's what happens when they try to give us tickets for playing one decibel too loud.
And then there are the unspoken rules. William says it's important to keep good relations with the other performers.
Today there was a guy that came up and it looked like he wanted the same spot as me, but I know him really well and he's a nice guy, so I just decided to give it to him rather than fight him for it.
However, newbie performers aren't always aware of these unofficial rules.
The rules state that it's 40 feet, and 40 feet away from somebody really isn't enough space. So it's kind of an unspoken rule between all the artists out here that you don't set up more than like probably 100 feet from another person.
She performs every Saturday from 2 to 4 in front of Sephora, and all the regulars know not to take her spot.
Every once in a while somebody will come and take that spot, and I can't really tell them not to, I don't have that authority, and I wouldn't want to.
But in order to call the promenade her office, Williams has a few tricks for making money.
If I have a big crowd and nobody's really buying a CD, I'll like kind of adjust my CDs just to kind of draw attention to them. Just little minor things like that.
Her natural talent helps too.
I belong with you, you belong with me, you're my sweet heart.
I like playing for people who aren't expecting you to be there. I like the unexpected. I like the shock and surprise that people get on their face when they see a good musician on the promenade.
Last year, Williams was signed with Interscope Records, but decided she didn't fit well with the label. So for now, she will keep singing and making a living on the promenade. Nicolette Collegian, Annenberg Radio News.
Venice Beach attracts everyone from tourists to guys in muscle shirts to musicians and artists looking for an audience, but can also be a haven for the homeless. A new program in Venice is hoping to serve the homeless by giving them storage space for their personal items. Camille Simmons takes a look at what it means to those struggling with homelessness.
Every day, dozens of homeless people line up on the Venice Beach boardwalk at Market Street and Ocean Avenue. They're waiting on a bus to take them to a shelter for the night. Lori Valencia is one of those people.
A lot of people see you as an eyesore because, of course, you know, we're sitting here without them knowing that we're sitting here in line in order to get to a place where it's going to be warm for us to get fed.
Some wait in line all day.
And it's hard because if you leave here, you lose your spot. You lose it.
Valencia is 37 years old. She, her husband Robert, and her mother-in-law have been homeless for 3 weeks.
This is our first time ever having to go through this, and it's the hardest thing. I never imagined what it would be like. You know, I never thought it was going to be us.
The Valencias moved from San Antonio, Texas, where the family had lost their jobs, home, and car. They came to L.A. looking for Lori's uncle. He hadn't answered his phone, but the Valencias had no other options.
We lost everything, so we were looking for family support, unfortunately, when we got here. He passed away. We used the last $630 that we had to come out here to find out that we had nowhere to go.
Nowhere but here. The Valencias slept on the beach their first week in L.A. They slept in the rain. They struggled to find food. And they had to carry everything they owned with them all the time.
Our first encounters were really bad, you know, with a lot of people, you know. They'll look at you, and because you carry so many things, right away they think you're smelly, you have some sort of illness.
But that isn't the only problem carrying so many things is caused. The bus that takes the homeless to the shelter only allows them to take what they can carry on their laps.
They would tell you, find a place to put it, and if you don't, you can't come.
Valencia did find a place to put it. A storage program that started in January now lets the homeless store their things for up to a week at a time in a trailer on the beach. Abby Arnold is a volunteer for the Check-In Venice storage program.
People weren't able to go to the shelter because they had too much stuff, and now they have a place to leave it.
Venice Community Housing started the program. It came after a court ruling in September that said it was illegal to seize and destroy property that homeless people left out temporarily.
What the folks have said to us today, and I've talked to probably 10 different homeless people, each one of those people has said I'm so glad that this is here because it's really giving me the chance to be able to go to the shelter tonight.
It's helped us out a lot. You have people that look down on you because you carry so much, you know, and now that that storage is available for us, it makes you feel a little bit more normal.
Lori and her husband sit on a blanket on the ground waiting for the bus scheduled to arrive at 6 to take them back to the shelter. At 6:20, a long yellow school bus pulls onto the boardwalk. With just a few small bags, the Valencias get on the bus that takes them to their new normal. Camille Simmons, Annenberg Radio News.
By June, California must reduce its prison population in order to comply with a court ruling. The state is moving 23,000 non-serious, non-violent, and non-sex offenders out of state prisons and into county jails. Susan Burton is founder and executive director of the A New Way of Life Reentry Project in South Central LA. Burton is a former drug addict who cycles in and out of the criminal justice system for nearly 15 years. She now works with women returning home from incarceration, helping them transition back into society. What was the goal of realignment, and is it working?
Let me be really clear here. Department of Corrections is not participating in realignment because it's the just, humane, and right thing to do. They got their pantsuit off of them, and they're complying with a federal mandate. So the moral high ground that they need to rise to is just not there. And right here in Los Angeles County, what I'm seeing happening is the same travesty that happened on a state level beginning to happen on a county level. The political climate is focused on building police forces and jails, not addressing the causes of crime in communities, the causes, you know, be it substance abuse, be it crimes of property. So let me ask you, what do you do when you either have to buy groceries or pay the light bill? You might pay the light bill and then go try to shoplift some groceries and instead of addressing these problems.
What are the most pressing psychological issues that you find women deal with when they come out of incarceration? And what types of services are available for them to receive treatment?
When you're released from prison or the county jails, you literally are downtown Los Angeles in an area that is concentrated with mental illness, drug addiction, homelessness, and sort of underground culture. And you're released back to that. You're released without ID, without Social Security card, without a safe and solid place to go to. And, you know, you're subject to so much negativity. It might subject a woman to succumb to whatever resources she has, which is right now herself, her body. You know, her mental faculties, you know, are the only resources. But how do you use your mental faculties in a place like Skid Row? If you don't have family, you don't have resources, you don't have connections, you're going to get in a cycle of more trauma, more disappointment.
There's a stigma in society that exists with people who have come out of the prison system. What would you want to say to an employer who is skeptical of hiring a formerly incarcerated person who maybe was in jail for one of these non-serious offenses? Yeah. What would you say to them?
My experience with formerly incarcerated people has been that they work the hardest, they show up, they've been very honest and trustworthy, and they're craving, they're hungry. They don't take job for granted. They realize that it's a real opportunity, and they rise to that opportunity. Say to an employer, don't continue to judge people on what's behind them. Look at what could be in front of them. Give a person an opportunity. If they have the skill set for the job, don't hold them hostage to the past. When we have served our time. Why would we continue to be punished?
That was Susan Burton, founder and executive director of the A New Way of Life Reentry Project in South Central Los Angeles. Sandwich shops are popping up everywhere, but where do you go for a really good one? This week, foodie reporter Tanaya Ghosh looks at a new spot in Little Tokyo during her segment, Tanaya's Table.
Have you ever eaten a savory sandwich on a donut bun? Yes, you heard right, a donut bun. It's exactly the kind of bread you'll find at Little Tokyo's The Sandwich Smith. Before you write off the idea of a donut surrounding your sandwich fillings, it might be best to explain the concept behind The Sandwich Smith. The store was inspired by a San Francisco business that's part bakery, part deli. Every sandwich at The Sandwich Smith is custom built, perfect for those picky eaters. At night, the mood shifts to a slightly fancier, more romantic atmosphere. Customers fill out a form to build their sandwiches. The options are plentiful, with everything from buttermilk fried chicken to bacon coleslaw. I topped my pulled pork sandwich with cheddar cheese, barbecue sauce, pickled red onions, and sweet and sour coleslaw. The donut bun didn't actually taste like a donut, more like a baked sandwich roll. It wasn't sweet, but it was soft and tasted great. If you need even more incentive to visit, pull out your smartphone and check in to the restaurant on Yelp to receive a free pastry. They even validate for parking in the Japanese Village Plaza. Thanks for listening to Tanaya's Table. Feel free to tweet at me at Ms. Tanaya G. Stay tuned until next time when I share with you my next foodie find. Tanaya Ghosh, Annenberg Radio News.
Melissa Kaplan recently started developing a one-woman musical, a process she calls a terrifying musical journey. She's documenting her experience in a regular series. To conquer her fears of creative failure, Kaplan sought support from fellow actors and musicians. Today, she shares the story of Jennifer Jonassen, a clown trained in Shakespearean acting.
When I was ready to embark on my journey from being a performing musician to becoming a performing musical actor, I knew it would help me to talk to other people who went through a similar transition. My friend Jennifer Jonassen is a trained Shakespearean actor from New York. Now in LA for 5 years, she performs as a dancer and a clown.
Like when I first came to LA, I was just a traditional actress. And on a whim, I auditioned for Cirque du Soleil. And I did well. Not like amazing, but well enough. Mm-hmm. And decided that I really did want to pursue it. But they were really looking for clowns instead of traditional actors. And so like I started taking clown classes and whatnot.
Performing in circus and variety shows around the city, Jennifer brings laughs with spandex costumes, loud makeup, outlandish humor, and stage presence. At 330 pounds, she tends to stand out from a crowd, and she wasn't always comfortable in spandex.
But the funny thing is, like, for the longest time, I didn't feel like I had the right to call myself a clown.
Really?
Yeah, like, it cracks me up now, because this is like 5 years have gone by at this point. And it's almost to me what it is like, what many people feel like is that you're really showing your vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
more so than anything, which makes it harder than acting.
Jennifer found the new scene helped her reawaken as an artist.
I don't know. It's just like in LA, I found like there's a whole like circus scene. Like that's how I look at it. Like circus scene more than clowns, but there are a lot of clowns. What I like about it is just that I don't have to, like clown is undefinable. So I could get to define myself in whatever way I choose, and obviously like for me, and that's like a respite from what Hollywood and traditional entertainment is.
I can relate. I'm using a new medium to redefine what I do. Sometimes I feel foolish. But Jennifer plays a fool on stage every week, and she looks great doing it. And she looks like she's having fun. That's plenty of motivation for me. Melissa Kaplan, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Joy Wang to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Coming up on ATVN, our reporter Irene Byun has more details on the Northridge child abduction case. Find out why officials are describing this case as a stranger abduction. The man suspected of opening fire at a USC party last Halloween is back in court. We'll tell you why. And finally, on this week's Eric Eats, our weather anchor Eric Rubel takes us to a local taqueria just 15 minutes away from campus. For all that and more, tune in to ATVN tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Annenberg TV News, Olivia Nyland, Amen Oyeboke Osifo, and Sam Weiser. Molly Gray is our producer. Our executive producer is Aaron Schrank. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Omar Shamoot.